Let us pray. Holy Father, as we approach thy throne, we do so in nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it is in him that we live and move and have our being. And it is only in him that you do accept our worship in any and every way. We ask forgiveness for our cold and dull hearts so much of the time. We do enjoy those seasons when you, in sovereign mercy, bless our cups to overflow. Give us a sense of thy majesty and our sinfulness. And bless us to enter into a special season of worship and adoration. I believe that we could not have that 24/7 in our daily activities. We're reminded of old Warburton on his dying days when you would come to him with such force and magnitude that he would have to ask that you would withdraw your presence somewhat because he couldn't take it anymore. We can't say that we can understand that. We haven't had such a season, but we do know that we have had those special moments of praise and adoration unto you that are sweet and filled with great wonder of thy being and your fellowship with such sinners as we are. We thank you that your word has been kept for us all the days of our lives. We thank you that you have kept us and that your word teaches that you will keep your people even in dying days or if we are persecuted for the faith, that you will not leave us to ourselves and bless us to endure and be faithful even unto death. It is only by your power that we can do so. And we thank you that your word teaches us such things. We thank you that the world of wickedness shall be destroyed. It shall fall in upon itself, as it were. And we thank you that regardless of how troublesome the times are, that you continue to uphold all things by the word of your power. Everything looks out of control with us, but nothing is out of control with you. We're reminded of the days of Joseph when his brothers hated him, and they meant all the things that they did against him for evil. But in your sovereign display, you meant it for good. And so, while we do not understand the machinations of all of that and how it all works together, we believe your word. Now bless us, we ask, as we continue to study this book and sanctify the truths of it to our heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in chapter 18 of Revelation, and since it's been a couple of weeks since we looked at this, there's a lot of reading, but there's not, we'll get through with this chapter this morning, most likely, but I want to read the chapter again so that we can kind of see some of the continuity of it. Chapter 18 is the continuation of chapter 17, which has to do with the time of the Great Tribulation, as well as the fall of Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, and all that is associated with it at that time. I would remind us again that when we're reading and God in His sovereign wisdom is not giving us the details. He's not giving us the timeline. In other words, He doesn't say this is going to happen in such and such a year. And He doesn't say that first this is going to happen, and secondly that's going to happen, and so on and so forth. It's kindly a broad sketch. I have likened it to a charcoal drawing without details, just the broad outline, and the details will come later. You remember that the Lord told Abraham that his seed was going to go into a strange land for 430 years, and then they would come out. But He didn't tell Abraham how that was going to happen. And even as we prayed, the brothers of Joseph hating him and their intention of doing him harm was the very some of the details as to how the children of Israel wound up in Egypt. And so we see the details later on when God told Moses that I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh. He didn't tell Moses all the details of how that was going to be until it came to be, and things of that nature. And as the prophets prophesied throughout the Old Testament, sometimes when they prophesied of something, it came to pass shortly, that is, in a few years. Sometimes it came to pass in hundreds of years, like what He told with Abraham. And then that was 430 years. But with Moses, with the children of Israel, that wasn't so long. And so you have these prophecies, but it doesn't give the time and the date and the details until it all unfolds, and that's what we're seeing in the book of Revelation. We're seeing some of the things that are going to happen, but it doesn't tell us exactly when those things are going to happen and exactly how they're going to happen. But that the fact that they will happen, we believe God. So let's read chapter 18, and you can see the connection of it with chapter 17, but naturally if we kept going back, we finally wind up at chapter 1, probably. We can't do that. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now notice, he had prophesied that Babylon had already fallen, when as yet it has not really fallen. You remember when Joshua went into before they went into the land of Canaan, what did God tell Joshua? after they crossed the river. He said, I have already given you the city of Jericho. When they hadn't walked around the wall yet, and it hadn't been destroyed. But it was so certain. In other words, it's a prolepsis that we've seen throughout the book of Revelation. Here's a prolepsis. Like Romans 8:30, for whom he did foreknow, he also did called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. Well, we're not glorified yet, but in the mind and purpose of God, it's just as certain. And so here we're seeing a statement like this, and we've seen that before. So anyway, verse 3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That is the idea of false worship. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. There you not only have religious connection, no doubt worldwide, but central government in merchandise. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. Strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The kings of the earth have committed fornication and live deliciously with her, and shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruit that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Regardless of the strength and the togetherness of the world leaders and all of the nations that assemble together against the saints of God, that will be aligned with and identified with this city, this mystery Babylon, ultimately it's all going to fall. It's all going to fall. We've seen a lot of judgments of God upon this nation and upon the world around. Our Lord talked about before he returned that there would be wars and rumors of wars until he returned. And we see that there's wars going on throughout the world all the time. Some big wars, some small wars, some called world wars, and some not designated as such. But this nation has soldiers in over 100 different countries battling in many ways. And you don't hear much about that on the evening news and things of that nature. But nevertheless, it's going on. And then there are other nations that are battling against nations round about them. So you have that going on. Our Lord said that there would be earthquakes and there would be other calamities in diverse places. And we find even in our own country, right now we have one section of the country that is under extreme heat wave, that is setting records that have never been before since they've been keeping records. Well, what caused these heat waves? It's not man, it's God. God is the one in control of the weather. And when you have the tornadoes, the Bible says God has his way in the whirlwind. And with the whirlwind of not only the tornadoes, but the hurricanes. And so you can see how that judgment is on the nations in many ways, not only just ours, but in many other nations, if we were to stop and take inventory. Of course, the world says, well, God has nothing to do with that. Well, if God doesn't have anything to do with it, that is, if it's not under his providential dealings and so on, and out from under his control, then may God help us. Well, if it's out of his control, how can he help us? Think about that. If there are things going on this world that's not under the control of God, how can he help us? It's futile to pray for God to help us in the midst of such tragedies. But God is God, and God is over all, and he is going to bring the destruction of this. Here we see that the kings of the earth that are in league with this mystery Babylon, the kings of the earth, not just a king, but the kings of the earth that are in league with her, they will weep and mourn, not because she's being judged, but because due to her destruction, they cannot sell their own merchandise. Look in verse 9. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. See, they can't sell their merchandise. The reason that they're wailing is not because the city was destroyed per se. It's because they can't sell their cars. Or they can't sell their, I said cars right off the top of my head, whatever it is that they produce. They can't sell their merchandise. Look at verse 15. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Drop down to verse 17. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. You're talking about a stock market crash. We haven't seen anything yet. It says, going on in 17, and every shipmaster, think about all of the shipping industries, and all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. Not only just the common commerce of selling products comes to a halt, but the whole shipping industry comes to a halt. Verses 18 and 19. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this city?" And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she's made desolate." You say, well, what all did they have to sell? Let's go back to verse 12. Notice the merchandise. Notice the different materials that no longer can be traded are bought and sold. Verse 12, the merchandise of gold. Let's pause there for just a moment. Survivalists tell us that our money is going to play out And the only good money that we'll have would be gold and silver that you can barter with, maybe. And there's some validity of truth to that scenario if it plays out as they have described it. But here we find that you can't even get rid of your gold. Think about that. A few months ago, when I forgot exactly what took place now, trying to remember. But anyway, there's a man that I know of. In fact, I know him well. But anyway, who it is, not important. But he trades in precious metals. And in one day, he sold enough silver that he made $35,000 just in one day. Well, just think about if this individual has a bunch of gold and silver and so on and so forth, and all of a sudden he can't sell any of it. His business fails. All right, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen. You ladies know more about the linen than I would, but I do know enough to know that it sure is nicer to sleep on a sheet that has 1,000 thread counts than one that has 300 thread counts. Fine linen. You can't sell it. Can't give it away. Purple and silk and scarlet, fine wood. I didn't go into a lot of details as to what all might be involved in that. My center reference, and yours may have that too, says sweet wood. And all manner vessels of ivory. And all manner vessels of precious wood. You know, wood here lately has increased over 300%. A few months ago, I was told by one of my children that had bought two befores a year ago for something like $2 and something. Those same two befores, $8 and something now. Well, what about if it's so bad you can't sell any of it? And brass and iron and marble and cinnamon. You know, we live in a society of recent years. Essential oils has become a major industry throughout the land. All these herbs and spices and oils and fragrances, cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses, and chariots. In other words, included in the beef, the beasts would be your cows and hogs and chickens and just regular things that you would eat. They can't sell it anymore. You can't buy it. And slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. You talking about empty shelves in grocery stores? Empty shelves in all stores. Verse 16, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught." Gold's not important. Silver's not important. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. Like I said, you talk about a stock market crash. That's a crash of stock market. That's a crash of the futures. That's a crash of the whole economic system throughout the world. And then we see the shipping industry. And it's not just America or Japan or some other country that will crash. It's a worldwide crash. A worldwide crash. This judgment will fall wherever there is organized rebellion against the Lord and His kingdom and His people. Wherever there's an organized rebellion against the Lord and against the cause of God and against the people of God. And are we not seeing that slowly creep in upon us as a society here? Everybody has a right to say and condemn whatever they want to, except the Christian. The Christian doesn't have the right to say what the Bible says. That's hate speech. And so you see that there's a one-sidedness to all of this. There's, as I said in my prayer on the way to worship here this morning, passed by a meeting house, and their sign said there will not be any worship service on the Sunday night because of the 4th. But what's that congregation declaring? The 4th of July is more important than the worship of God. Another building you passed by, a house of worship, supposedly had flags stuck out all over it. Well, I'm not against the American flag. In fact, I think that too many people fly the flag too much anyway. And what I mean by that is they fly the American flag 24/7, rain, hail, sleet, or snow. And I was taught in grade school, when you put the flag up, if it started raining, you went out and took it down, lest you desecrate the flag. And you didn't let it touch the ground. And all of that. There's no, people fly the flag more and more, but there's no respect. There's a destruction politically as well as religiously that's being seen in just the last two examples that I've given. Just an overall degradation of society and the things that holds a country together. We're not even talking about abortion, murderers getting off. We're not even talking about all of the political shenanigans that go on in all of the places of government, whether it be countywide, statewide or nationally wide. We're talking about just little simple things. The nation that forgets God shall be destroyed. And we're seeing not only this nation, but we're seeing nations around the world that are being destroyed or that have forgotten God. And we're seeing more and more destruction coming in upon them in many different ways. Some through storms, some through diseases, some through droughts, and you name it. But eventually, it's all going to implode in on itself. The merchants wail because they can't get rid of their merchandise. And we saw that the merchandise includes everything from the souls of men to silver and gold down to wheat and horses and wine and oil. The language of Revelation is, as one commentator said it, is not prose, but a series of pictures whose main concern is not chronology and sequence, but ultimate realities. In other words, again, we don't know what nation is going to fall first. We don't know what business or what city. We don't know when it will happen, but we know that it's going to happen. Just like we find throughout the New Testament, throughout the whole Bible with regard to prophecy. Prophecy is given. It's given a broad picture of what's going to happen, but it doesn't tell how it's going to happen. Even our Lord said regarding the temple there in Matthew 24 and 25, when the question was asked, but Jesus walked out of the temple and he told his disciples that there's going to be a day when one stone of this temple won't be on another. And they said, when shall these things be? And he gave a broad outline, but he didn't give the details. He didn't say it's going to be in 70 A.D. He didn't say that the Roman army is going to come and do this thing. He didn't tell how it's going to be burned first. He didn't tell how that the army, the captain of the army, gave a command that the temple not be destroyed. And yet his command was ignored. His command was ignored. See, the Lord didn't give all of those details beforehand, but he said it was going to be. Well, he hasn't given us the details here, but it's going to be. Is it going to be in my lifetime? I don't know. I pray not. Y'all hear me pray quite often that I might be blessed to lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness all the days that I live upon this earth. But I may not have that. I do not know. But this much I do know. Mystery Babylon and all that is associated with it will be destroyed. It will be destroyed. Notice verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, and this sea might be the population. You remember we saw in Revelation 13, a beast come up out of the sea, and we saw that sea was the kingdom, the people of the earth. Even in chapter 17 of Revelation. It tells us that on the 17th chapter of Revelation, it talks about in the first verse that this whore was sitting on many waters. Then in verse 15 it says, "The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." And when it said in Revelation 13 that the beast came up out of the sea, general consensus there is that this sea is just talking about the world population. So this sea could be the world population. We just have to wait and see about all of the details when they come to pass. But look in Jeremiah chapter 51. Here in Jeremiah, he prophesied of the judgment of Babylon, that city Babylon. And just as Jeremiah prophesied of the destruction of that city before it came, in Revelation we're seeing the prophesying of the destruction of the mystery Babylon. But in Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 63 and 64. "And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah." And we could have, we made mention of some of this before. I think we even read some of the passages in Isaiah and so on, where Isaiah prophesied some hundreds of years before about the destruction of Babylon. Jeremiah was a little closer to the time of it. But you remember that there's a passage in Isaiah, and it says, "The Arabian shall not pitch his tent there." And a few years ago, a book that I have on archaeology, this archaeologist was doing some survey where Babylon used to be, because Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar had built, that Jeremiah is talking about and that Isaiah was talking about, when it was destroyed, it's never been rebuilt. And God said it never will be rebuilt. One of my sons was in Afghanistan, in Iraq for a while, and he said it's still in ruins. And this archaeologist some years ago was going to camp out in Babylon, and his Arabian guide wouldn't camp out there. And he asked him why, and he said, "Well, we never have, and it's just a custom that we don't do that." He didn't know why. But Isaiah says, "The Arabian shall not pitch his tent there." God's word is fulfilled, just like God said, whether we understand it or not. And Jeremiah prophesied that Babylon was going to sink, but he didn't say that the Medes and the Persians were going to take over Babylon. He didn't say how it was going to take place. And just as Jeremiah prophesied with regard to literal Babylon, so will this mystery Babylon, whatever it is, whatever city it is, whether it's Rome and the Rome religion of Rome, I think it's It will include that. I believe there will be a worldwide religion, a worldwide economic system, a worldwide political system. You say, well, what's it going to look like? We'll have to wait and see. I might even be wrong in my assumptions or in my beliefs. I want to give you another quote from a commentator, George Ladd. The completeness of Babylon's destruction is vividly pictured in the cessation of the various activities characteristic of the city. Babylon had been a patron of the arts, but now all music must be stilled. Business will die. No more craftsmen will be found in the city. The pursuits of everyday life, such as grinding flour for bread, will cease. Can you imagine going to the store to get some flour and you can't find any? The nights as well as days will be without life. No light of the lamp, that is the candle, shall shine in thee anymore. Could be the whole electric grid falling. Don't know. Could be. Houses at night will be pitch black. The usual human activities and festivities, such as weddings, will resound in houses and streets no more. Babylon will become a dead city. But I want to draw our attention to verse 20 in closing. Notice what we are to do. Rejoice. Revelation 18:20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. The world and the world religions and all of the machinations against the house of God and the people of God may have their day, but they're also going to have their day in court. And we will rejoice because, beloved, God will avenge His own elect who cry day and night unto Him. As you find in Luke, I believe it's chapter 18, if you go back and read that, when it talks about the woman coming before the unjust judge. You want to see righteousness prevail? It's going to someday. You want to see wickedness put down? It's going to be put down someday. They may destroy themselves. How it's going to be, we don't know. But we do know that God is going to orchestrate it all to His honor and to His glory. Just like He orchestrated the getting Israel down into Egypt to deliver them out, to put Pharaoh up to show his power and to make his name known throughout all the earth, that it make God's name known. Just like He orchestrated the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. Just like He orchestrated the fall of the 10 northern tribes and later the 2 southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Our God is a God of history. Study history and you see the providence of God. If you were living hundreds of years before some of the things that you would see in history, you say, well, I never would have seen that coming. Well, there's a lot of things we may not see coming, But God has given us a broad outline that all the things of the devil, Satan, the beast, the false prophet, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, all of that is going to come crashing down, and we can rejoice. Not because we're getting our way, but because God is honored and glorified. Rejoice over her when you see her destruction. When we see wicked men today falling, we rejoice. When we see wicked politicians falling and getting some of the things they deserve, we rejoice. Do we not? And it's good that we do. When a Hitler is stopped, isn't that not time to rejoice? When a Stalin is stopped, is that not time to rejoice? And beloved, when wickedness is hindered in the day in which we live, we need to give God the thanks and honor Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, while we do not know the details of when and how all of this will be, the details that are given are astounding. When we see that it matters not the commodity, it matters not of the industry, it matters not of the merchant, it matters not of the religion, it matters not of the economy. All that is not built on You and founded upon the truth of the gospel is going to come crashing down. We pray that You would bless us with godly men to rule over us, that we might ever lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And for the wicked that are in power, that You might restrain them, better it would be that You would convert them. But if not restrain them or remove them, whatever seems fit. Do not leave us to ourselves. That we not deny You. And if we are involved in it, as the command we read earlier, give us strength, wisdom, and insight to come out of her and be not a part of her. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.